Before we begin this episode of the Psychology Podcast, it is important to know that if you are having thoughts of or are considering suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. This is a 24-hour, toll-free suicide prevention service that will direct you to the closest possible crisis center in your area. You can reach them at 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-SUICIDE.
And I tried holding the gun to my head, and I put the safety on, and I took it off, and I tried to put pressure on the trigger, and I just couldn't get myself to do it. So I'd put the gun down, and I'd listen to the music for a while, and I'd cry, and I just really thought, no, now I've got to do this. I'm here. I got to go through with it. Can't mess this up. So I systematically went through pointing the gun at different parts of me. I pointed it at my chest, and same thing. I couldn't get myself to pull the trigger. I pointed it at my abdomen. And, you know, I'd been playing off and on with the safety, and I don't know if I thought the safety was still on when I really tried to put the pressure on and the gun went off, or what. It all sort of became a blur. And I'm glad the mind can't remember pain like that, because it was the most awful burning and pain I think I've ever experienced in my life.
What we've just heard was a testimony from a woman who, at an earlier time in her life, attempted suicide. She's now a practicing licensed clinical psychologist, and because of that, we'd like to keep her identity anonymous. For now, I'd like to welcome you to the fifth installment of the Psychology Podcast, sponsored by the Department of Psychology at Texas Tech University. On this episode, I'd like to bring up the very serious topic of suicide, and how to deal with someone you suspect might be considering it. Also, it is important to note that if you are thinking about attempting suicide, there are better options to consider. Right now, we have three experts ready to discuss the topic of suicide. In the studio, Dr. David Rudd. On the phone, Dr. Lisa Firestone. And the psychologist who opened the segment. Dr. Rudd is a clinical psychologist associated with the American Association of Suicidology and the International Association of Suicide Research. He is also the chair of the Department of Psychology at Texas Tech University. Dr. Firestone, also a clinical psychologist, is the Director of Research and Education at the Glendon Association, a facility in Santa Barbara, California, meant to enhance mental health through education, research, and training. The first question that I'd like to throw out there is, how would you differentiate between someone who is suicidal and someone who is depressed?
Yeah, I think one of the things that differentiates somebody from somebody who is clinically depressed versus somebody who has periods of sadness in somebody who's at increased suicide risk is what's referred to is emotion regulation difficulty, somebody who can self-regulate. In other words, when they have periods of low mood, periods of depression, they're aware of and capable of using different coping responses in order to regulate that affect, improve their mood, and as a result not have this kind of a spiraling depression that gets worse over a period of days or over a period of weeks.
So if you're saying that a major difference is in the way of coping with feelings, what is going on in the mind of someone who is considering suicide?
There a lot of times the kind of things they're thinking is that they're a burden to other people, that they make their friends and family feel bad, that people would be better off without them. And this is never, by the way, how families feel afterwards. They feel like they don't belong, they don't fit in anywhere. They feel, you know, quite hopeless about all of that. And the most strong negative affect that they're having is desperation. They're in something that some people have called the suicidal mode or the suicidal trance, where these negative thoughts are taking more and more control of their behavior, and they're taking more and more actions in the direction of becoming self-destructive. So they're really in a pretty disconnected state from themselves, pretty cut off from feeling, pretty much just thinking that this is something they better do.
Could feeling suicidal be at least partially attributed to the parents of that individual?
There clearly is a link between family history and suicidality. The link actually is a little less significant than you might imagine, but it tends to take two forms. One is a genetic predisposition for depression. And the other thing to think about is parenting styles in terms of abusive styles, where children are criticized and emotionally abused over long periods and as a result develop very poor self-image and, as was referenced earlier, develop an inability to regulate affect. They don't learn how to deal with negative emotions, how to deal with periods of sadness and respond in functional and healthy ways.
Let's say I have a friend who I think may be considering suicide. In what ways would you suggest that I handle this?
I think that the primary thing I would say to somebody who says that they have a friend or somebody they're aware of who's thinking about suicide is simply do something. Respond and don't dismiss. Don't talk yourself into not doing something. The evidence shows that upwards of 85 to 90% of all people who ultimately take their own lives communicate that in some way. That means they either tell someone or they leave a note somewhere. Somehow they've communicated the intent. And what we tend to find is that people oftentimes, because they're uncomfortable by the issue of suicide, tend not to respond, rather convince themselves that there's not a need to.
What you're trying to draw out from them in this engagement stage is just what's going on in their mind, how they're seeing the world, how they're seeing themselves. And you're trying to sort of explore what's the crisis for them right now and trying to see it through their eyes, not how you might see it as a more objective outside observer. And then you want to identify, are they really at risk for suicide? And one of the most important things is you want to ask the question, have you ever thought about suicide? Have you ever thought about hurting yourself? And a lot of people are really afraid to ask that question. They think that by asking the question, they'll put that idea in somebody's mind. But they've done research in the average high school students, 80% of them say they've thought about it at one time or another. And so you're not going to give somebody the idea for the first time. Do they have a method plan? Do they have access to that method? You want to make a plan with them. What are you going to do and what are they going to do to keep them safe? If the person is thinking about suicide and, you know, and is willing to admit that in the present moment, then you want to stay with them until you get them to safety. And it's not that you can solve all of their problems. Their problems are often complex. But you want to get them to the right help.
If, during that conversation, the friend suggested that suicide is the only answer, how would you approach that?
One of the first things I would do is encourage them to get the word only out of their vocabulary because, you know, when we paint ourselves into that corner of the only thing I can do is, you know, kill myself, we start, I think, building evidence for why we have to. And what I've learned is, you know, it's not the only thing I can do. And it is an addictive behavior. I think once you give yourself that idea that, you know, if things get too bad or if I fail this test or if this guy breaks up with me or if I can't deal with my sexuality or whatever the issue is, that the pact with ourselves is that I'll go and kill myself. And what I've learned and what I tell other people is it's not the only thing you can do. You can go and get help. You can, you know, call friends. You can hang in there and give life a little bit of time. What you're going to realize is that it gets better and it gets worse and it gets better and it gets worse. And for the most part, it's, you know, more good days than bad. And it becomes about moments. And boy, those moments are so worth it.
Well, I want to thank the three of you for agreeing to help us out with this issue. If you are considering suicide, it is important to understand that it is perfectly okay to seek help from a friend, a physician, or a counselor. Depression is a condition that affects the way you think about yourself and the world around you. If you're thinking of suicide, those thoughts may make sense to you now, but they won't when you're feeling better. Do the brave thing. Reach out for some help. As for now, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. To learn more about the Texas Tech Psychology Podcast, please visit www.psychology.ttu.edu. This podcast was produced by Dr. Frank Durso, edited by Paul Derby, and relayed by myself, R.B. Watts. Stay healthy and active, and have a great day.